Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to the voice of Pittsburgh, KDK Radio. I'm Angino. Many of us have loved ones that are in senior care facilities, whether they're in Allegheny County, throughout the region, or across the country. And it has been an extremely difficult time. One, difficult in the sense of making sure that physically that each and every one of the residents stay as healthy as they possibly can be, considering the vulnerabilities to COVID-19. And then it's also been a great challenge, too, because in order to do that, there's been a need to isolate those same seniors from their families as much as possible to ensure their safety. And it's been a tremendously difficult time. With us right now on the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline is Nick Vasaka. He is the president and CEO of Ascension Collaborative System. They have nursing facilities, six of them here in and around Allegheny County. He's joining us now. Nick, welcome to KDK Radio. Good to have you back on.
Mangino, thank you so much for having me on.
This has been an especially trying time. Catch us up, if you will, from, you know, you get word about what's going on, the shutdown goes into place, and then you guys have gone into mode of doing all that you can to keep your residents as safe as possible. Catch us up to where it started to this point with your efforts of doing that.
Yeah, so I think you and I are both reminded probably on a daily basis from a mutual friend of how many days it's been since the visitations have stopped, and it's, you know, over 100 now. But I'll be honest with you, we started our preparation before any of this even came about. We have a great clinical excellence team. They came together in February when we first heard that, you know, cases were happening in China, and we actually mobilized a team to create two 15-bed isolation units in the North Hills, specifically for this, with negative air pressure. And we thought, if we have an outbreak of COVID in our own facilities, we're prepared. Never did we think that we would also open those up to hospital discharges that were positive COVID patients. We have been fortunate, by the grace of God, and knock on wood, we have not had any positive cases in any of our facilities from our own folks. But we have admitted over 15 patients that have been discharged from local hospitals that have come to our COVID unit in the North Hills at Vincentian Home. And I will tell you, it's not always a death sentence, Mangino. So of those folks, I think we have two remaining in those units right now. The others have been discharged, and they've either gone back home or they've gone back to their home nursing facility. So it's been a challenge, but I commend our team, our clinical excellence team, Patty Embry, Laurie Canella, those folks. They've been on top of this, daily calls, multiple daily calls with the CDC, DOH, to make sure that my primary concern and our primary concern is to make sure that our patients and our residents are safe and healthy. And I know that's really hard. I have elderly parents myself who are at home, and we've tried to stay away from them because I don't want to infect them. So that's our first and foremost priority, and I just want the public to understand that, you know, your loved ones are our loved ones too. So we really want to make sure that they're safe.
And the challenge of doing this, because all of the care providers at all of the facilities go home every day. They then go shopping at stores. They go to pharmacies and grocery stores and live lives. So what you've been able to do, not only, obviously, by the grace of God, but also tremendous effort and protocol that's put in place to ensure that whatever is without doesn't get within.
Correct. So from day one, we started screening at the door, temperature screenings, questionnaire. Any employee that had any symptom or any sign of a fever was sent away. And luckily, we haven't been really faced with that. Hand hygiene policies, mask wearing. I know that you had spoken to Bishop Zubik right before this, and it's so critical. People need to understand it's a selfless act. Just wear that mask. You may be asymptomatic, especially younger people, and the older population is so vulnerable. You go out, it's a minor inconvenience, but the quicker we can get these numbers down, the quicker we can start to reopen some of these facilities. And a lot of these folks that are there, although we keep them in touch with their family members through video chat, through phone calls, and the activities are still going on within the home, although they're not, you know, communal activities, but it's still, there's a mental deterioration there, right? And the longer this goes, you know, there are concerns, but we're here to you know, enforce what the DOH says and abide by those rules, and let's quickly flatten this curve and let's get back to, you know, to some sort of normalcy. I hate that term, the new normal, because, you know, none of this is normal. You know, we're a social being, and this does not feel normal.
Yeah. Speaking of wanting to be able to help with the psychological and social needs that seniors have, how close are we to being able to have that interaction with our loved ones again at care facilities?
Yeah. So as I said before, we're following the DOH directive, and here's what the directive says. So we have to complete all universal testing of all residents and all staff by July 24th. I'm happy to report we've already started that. We're trying to get ahead of this. I know some other facilities are waiting till the last minute. You know, there's always that concern, oh my gosh, what happens if I get a positive? We're not of that mindset. We want to get this over with. So we've tested every resident and every staff member at Vincentian Home, which is over 650 folks. We've tested everybody at our Vincentian de Marillac facility in Stanton Heights, you know, over 125 residents and staff, and all have come back negative. So now next week we're on to Marion Manor and Schenley Gardens. And once that happens, everybody tests negative, let's say, by the grace of God again, then you have to wait 14 days. So you wait the 14 days with no new facility onset cases. We're allowed to accept those residents that are those discharges from hospitals that may be positive in our unit. Those don't count. As long as you don't have a new onset case on site, then you have a plan in place and you can start visitations. And that's what we're working with the DOH and Allegheny County now. We have our plan ready. We're of the mindset that we're not going to have any new cases. And when that 14 days is up, we have a plan ready to go, and families can come visit.
Nick, do me a favor. I got to pause here for traffic, but I want to talk about that plan moving forward. And it sounds as though maybe sometime the 1st of August, we could actually get back to our loved ones. And I want to get more details about that coming up in a moment. Nick Fazaka, once again with us, president and CEO of Vincentian Collaborative System. Hi, man. Gino Lynn is off today. She'll be back on Monday and join us once again. With me on the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline, Nick Fazaka. He is the president and CEO of Vincentian Collaborative System. We're talking about senior care facilities and COVID-19 and where we've been, where we are, and where we are hoping to go. Nick, before we talk about near future and what the hopes are and how soon visitations can begin, some have suggested what we need to do is just hyper-isolate the nursing care facilities, considering so many of the deaths are linked back to care facilities. So explain in your estimation why it's important for everybody else to be making sacrifices if all what we're really trying to do is protect the seniors that are inside care facilities for the most part.
Well, I think that's twofold, Mangino. I think first and foremost, you know, a lot of the deaths that occurred in some of these facilities, you know, some of these facilities shouldn't have been open in the first place. I mean, you know, they had issues prior to COVID even existing, and I think COVID accelerated that. But the importance of really everybody doing their part, as you said before, a lot of these, you know, all of these staff members that work within these facilities, they go home and they have to, they go to the Giant Eagles, they go to the Aldis, they go shopping, they have kids, and so they're exposed to. And when they go home, we preach to them that, you know, you don't unmask just because you're out of our facilities. We have this, we have a great campaign going on internally with all of our healthcare heroes that keep that mask on and remember where you work, remember where you come back to, and really limit the spread of that. So I think it's, again, it's a testament to everything that we've done internally to really prepare for this as best we can and really educate our staff and educate, you know, all of our residents and patients to make them understand that, you know, you are vulnerable. You are older. And it's not just the elderly. It's people with pre-existing conditions. So we do have workers, Mangina, who are diabetic, who do have, you know, heart issues and blood pressure. So, you know, we remind them that this is not just about our residents. It's also about you because we care about you. You're our family also. We do give out masks. We have been very good with PPE. We've been fortunate. As I said, we started to really collect a lot of this before any shutdowns ever occurred back in March. We kind of saw this coming and really prepared ourselves. So everybody has to do their part, whether you're going to get gas, you're walking into a Sheetz, you're going into a Gecko or a Giant Eagle. I know it's a minor inconvenience, but it's a small price to pay for us to not go into the fall when flu season comes and now be faced with two viruses and potentially something that's a lot bigger than it is now.
So testing at facilities need to be done by July 24th, and then after that testing is complete, you were saying if everybody comes back negative, then you're looking at a two-week period, and then after that two-week period, the beginning protocol for allowing people to come and visit care facilities. So potentially sometime early to mid-August, this could begin. What can people expect to have to go through in order to be able to visit with their loved ones once they get there?
Yeah, it'll be completely different, but you're right. 14 days after that, no new cases. Then we have a protocol already in place that the Department of Health that we have worked with. And I just want to mention, too, man, you know, the DOH has been fantastic in terms of the testing and what they've supplied for us and the support. So that's been great, and it's been going quickly. But once they come back, visitors will get screened. There'll be a mix of inside and outside visitation. There'll also be planned visits. So, you know, we don't want a mad rush of, you know, 200 family members coming back into the facilities. So we're asking them, you know, we're going to have sign-up times, and we'd like you to sign up for the time that you come in. And I will tell you, the vast majority of family members have complimented us on keeping their loved ones safe, and they will follow the rules. And as always, you're going to have a couple people that are angry, and I get that. I get that anger and frustration because I'm angry and frustrated too. But again, you know, I'm not going to put the health and well-being of residents as well as our license to operate this nursing home in jeopardy and go against any directive from the DOH. So like I said, we've been fortunate, and we haven't had any cases, and we've done fantastic. In just a little bit more time, you can see that finish line, and we can start to reopen, you know, staggered reopen these homes and get these folks to see their families and their loved ones again. That's the most important thing, too.
We have about 90 seconds to traffic. Yeah. Talk about the cost that you guys have taken on in order to provide the increased protection for your residents?
Yeah, there's a lot of costs associated. First and foremost, when we created those two COVID units, we paid to construct those. There's brand-new air handling units. Walls had to go up, doors, anti-area, disinfection, all the PPE that we acquired. You know, not to mention, this, we asked for volunteer staff to come in and work those COVID units. Volunteering meaning, yes, I'll do it, but we pay them double time. So if you're a nurse making $35 an hour, you're now working in our COVID unit, working hand in hand, side by side with COVID positive patients. We are paying those nurses, those nurse aides, housekeeper, dietary, double time to work in those units. So there's a cost associated with that, but that's the only units that those folks will work in. So we have over 20 staff that are dedicated to that, and they will not work anywhere else in the building. They're dedicated to that unit, and they provide that compassionate care to allow those folks to heal. So there's a cost associated with that. Now, you also have a cost associated with, you know, less admissions because a lot less folks are going to the hospital. So census is down. So there's a lot involved in that. But at the end of the day, Mangina, it's for us personally at Vincentian, it's not about the bottom line. It's our mission. This is what we do, and we've committed to this, and the Sisters of Charity of Nazareth and the Sisters at Vincentian before us, we are committed to doing what's best for our staff, our residents, and our families. And that's it. That's the bottom line. The money doesn't matter at this point.
And that's why I love what you guys do over in Vincentian and love that you guys are responsible for the care of my Joe and Gloria. And thank you so much for what you do.
Thank you so much for having me on, Vin.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.